Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Or you could say, like, you know what? I don't think I'm driving crazy, but our baby's in the car. My family doesn't feel safe. So I'll just
drive a little slower.
Or right. Yeah. But you do this, well, I can't even. You drive. Because I'm like, I'll drive, but it should also mean when I am not in the car and you go somewhere wild by yourself, you also drive cautiously.
Mm-hmm. I do, yeah.
But you give me the indication that you're like, well, I'll switch it up for you, but like the minute you get out, I'm gonna go back to my, like, you don't have integrity is what I'm saying, yeah. Is a mess. Come on in. Welcome to Fly on the Wall and Podcast. This is the podcast about influencer culture, about parenting tips, about live relationship advice, okay? And recording it all for the world to see. I'm your neighborhood friendly black girl, Amber.
And I'm Ben, just a little asterisk. This is not live.
Well,
live relationship,
you know what?
Advice.
Actually, it skirt on 22s. Guess what? Tonight, you are currently seeing us live.
Yes.
If you're watching us on Wednesday, you should be in Los Angeles at the Lodge Room.
I flew out here.
You should be seeing us live on stage right now at our sold out show.
Unfortunately,
I'm claiming all of the things.
It's sold out. So
what do you mean, unfortunately?
If you're just hearing about this now, you just discovered us. We got super viral, super famous.
Yes.
You can't buy tickets anymore, unfortunately.
You can't. Yep. Tickets gone, because we are that popular. Popular. We're popular.
Popular.
So thank you so much to all those.
Popular.
Who's popular?
It's from Wicked.
I want to be popular. Yes. Thank you to those of you who bought tickets to the show. We're going to get this party started.
Support live theater.
Today. Support live theater. Thank you for supporting us and our family. Let's jump right in. The first segment of our show is called Hashtag Influenced.
It's time for the hashtag.
Hashtag Influenced.
Okay. Today, we're talking about something that Ben is very familiar with, mm-hmm. Making apologies. So obviously, people are constantly making mistakes on the internet, even mistakes they really didn't mean to make. Recently,
Just
on the internet. A couple weeks ago, there was the beauty community really cooked this white dude's ass, okay? There's this beauty creator called Kevin Lee. I had to pause because it's not to be confused with Keith Lee.
He's barely a beauty creator, though.
That is not fair. I feel like if you're making videos and you're being paid to make some of those videos of makeup reviews and stuff, you are a beauty influencer. Maybe you're micro, maybe you're macro.
I said barely.
That's shade. You said that to be shady. What's not making this person a beauty creator if they're paid to do makeup
reviews? I don't think he does
stuff?
It full time. I think he has to have it.
He might not, but that doesn't mean he's barely doing it. So if you're doing something half time, are you barely doing it?
Yeah. Part time? I barely bartend. I work like 2-3 nights a week.
They so clearly are making beauty content and people are watching. And what people did recently watch, there was this white beauty influencer who was testing out this makeup product from the makeup line Juvia's Place. Juvia's Place is a black-owned cosmetic line, okay? So they really specialize in like very pigmented shades. We will obviously link this in the episode notes. They specialize in pigmented shades that can show up on darker skin. So this white creator reviews it and it's basically implying, he didn't really do too much, but they're basically implying that like, I look crazy right now. Like
look
how,
at this. This is
how,
so,
like, look
this
at the culprit. Like,
this
how,
is so tiny. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I just put so a much. Tiny amount and like, it's all over me now. To which obviously all of the black girls who do makeup, like, who love makeup, immediately clap back. It's like, why are you even reviewing this? This isn't even for you. Blah, blah, blah. Okay.
It's specifically designed for people with darker pigments. That would be similar to me like, you know, I tried this wheelchair out. It doesn't really work good for me.
Right.
Or like something that's just not, maybe
that,
not wheelchair.
Yeah, because a wheelchair like, is so clearly for, but like when it comes to just like, if this is a black owned brand, it was just like, it was unawareness at its finest level.
I think I could see some fucked up creator being like, here are top 10 motor carts wheelchairs I tried, and here's how I'm rating them.
You know what it'd be like? It would be like getting in an elevator that had something specific to it, and you're like, why is this here and in my way? And you're like, that's so that the people can like grab hold of this when they need something. You know, just like different things to press or lift up with or touch, or you're like, why is this designed like this? And you're like, you're not even thinking about the people that this can support.
It's like going into a sex store and being like, oh, ew, like I don't get why are there like crops and you know, handcuffs, like,
right,
what?
Right.
Like,
yeah,
like I'm gonna review.
Or you know what I recently saw? I recently saw a creator make a video, and then in her caption, she described everything that was going on in the video, and some people in the comments are like, why did you just write a description of what's going on in the video? Like, that's ridiculous. And if she was like, well, those who are vision impaired can like read the description or have someone read them description so they know what's going on. Mm. And they were like, oh, okay.
You know what it's like? It's like going to a store, like an Asian like produce store, and then trying out like spices and be
right.
Like, I put this spice on my eggs, and you're like, that's, and it's, and it was terrible.
It was,
and
right.
You put way too much. You didn't know
right.
anything about the spice or the cooking.
I think our audience knows where we're going with this. This makeup is not for you, and you dragged it. Now what happens, right? Obviously the girls are dragging him. And they, I don't know their pronouns, I'm just going to say they. Obviously, the girls are dragging this person, and then this person quickly went to make an apology about it.
Boo.
You know what? Okay, let's play the apology.
Are you going to play the apology?
I'm going to play the apology, and then let's have a conversation.
I'm
going to
break down why this is a terrible apology. And I can do this because I am so excellent at apologizing. I've had tons of practice doing it. I've actually read books about apologizing.
I think you apologize a lot. I'm going to be honest with you. You're not that great at apologies. But I have a structure that we can use. Okay? You're not. Apologies to you are like, let me just wait till she forgets, which I don't. Let's play his apology.
For the people that were offended by that Juvia's Place blush video from me, I am truly sorry. That was not my intention. I feel really shitty that anybody was offended by a video that I posted online. It was absolutely not my intention to brush over the fact that those blushes are so highly pigmented so that they will work on black and brown skin. The brand is a black-owned brand. It is a brand that will put black and brown skin at the forefront of every single brand launch. All of their products, their photo shoots, their video shoots. I don't want to bash a company like that. It was not my intention. I went out and bought that product in the first place because I do like Juvia's Place. I think they have some amazing products, and they have products that work for literally every single skin tone. And I think that's something to celebrate and something to support. And I feel shitty that my video suggests anything otherwise. I was in shock by the pigment and I just wasn't prepared. And that was my fucking bad. As an influencer, it is my job to do the research and to view a product in a way that's helpful, that's not hurtful. And I was just completely ignorant when posting that video. And again, that's my bad. That's my fuck up, and I'm really sorry.
He goes on for another minute acknowledging that it was his bad, acknowledging that he didn't do the research. And I'm sorry, like, it wasn't that bad of an apology. And then people are like, well, why is the old video still up? He was like, you're right, taking it down now. And other people are like, well, no, you should leave the video up so people can see what mistakes are made.
Just stop, bro.
What should he have said? What should Kevin, simply Kevin, have said?
Oh, an apology?
Yeah, because Kevin just acknowledged that he didn't do the research. He just acknowledged that, like, this is a black and brown company, and clearly it wasn't for me. They put black people and prioritize black and brown shades.
Sure. Though he started his apology terrible, and then he ended it pretty well. So the first thing you don't want to do with an apology is say something, I'm sorry that I offended you, for those who got offended.
I got you.
So you want to say something, just make it about you. I language completely. Like, hey, what I did was, and then he eventually says, what I did was fucked up. Right?
Right.
And just say that. I didn't do my research. Bam. But he starts with, for anybody who got offended, oh, I hate that phrase. Like, well, I'm sorry that I offended you. That's not a real apology, because that's very different than saying, I'm sorry that I was insensitive. It's very different than I'm sorry that I offended you, because there's in this idea that you took offense to what I said.
I can agree with you on that.
Because for me, like, I will say something that might be offensive. I don't find it offensive, but what I never want to do is not be sensitive to somebody. So if there are certain topics or jokes that I like to make regarding maybe politics or religion, and I know not everyone likes that. So if I'm around someone who doesn't like a religious joke and I say that religious joke, they get offended by that joke. I've become insensitive. That's why I should apologize, is I should have been more aware of that. I'm not going to apologize that I made fun of religion, because I don't care about that, but I do care about the individual and the fact that I was insensitive to their own beliefs. And that's where I can apologize.
But that's
apologize.
What he's saying at the top, who he's apologizing to.
See, yeah, but he says it in a way, I'm sorry that I offended, for those who I offended. Was it different than, there's the way he phrases it.
But okay, in your scenario that you just gave, you are typically offending one person. Right?
Yeah, like family members.
So it's hard for you to say, like, you have not experienced offending a group of people from one or two marginalized groups. So it's hard to say, like, maybe he should have been more specific about, like, I want to acknowledge that I have offended the black and brown community for the following reasons, and that is not okay. Like, these shades are made for black women, brown women, or black brown people.
Still saying I'm sorry that I offended the black community puts the onus on the black community getting offended, instead of saying, like, I'm sorry for being insensitive to...
I see what you're saying. So don't even make it about the community or the who. Just make it about, like...
make it about you and your insensitivity.
This is what I did. Yeah. Right.
My favorite part of this,
I mean, people are going to be mad regardless, right? So I want to acknowledge also, his original video was not that bad. Like, if you watch it, he wasn't like, who the fuck would wear this? Like, he wasn't like that. He was like, whoa.
You sort of hear his personality. He's like calm.
He was like
chill,
that I put a lot on. Like, it gave that to me. It's wasn't.
At one point, he did say something pretty sassy along the line.
He was
like,
this is the culprit.
He's like, this is the culprit. And then he said, I just put a tiny bit, like he's this shocked that this pigment that's not designed for his skin.
It was still clownery, truly.
But also, it's so minor, and he got all these views for it.
So many views, so much backlash.
Like, for example, I made a joke about American Fiction being like the black movie to watch during MLK, right?
When did you make that?
I made a video basically saying, "An American Fiction is the best black movie." And guess what? There's no, essay. There's no slavery. Blah, blah. I list all these things because I'm referencing the fact. I think I'm being clever and think I'm referencing the fact that Hollywood generally only likes to make black movies that have like gang violence, slavery, and sexual assault.
Tell me the joke that you made again.
So it's like, hey, everybody, you should go see American Fiction. It is the number one black movie to watch during MLK weekend. And guess what? It's a black movie without sexual assault and slavery. And
But that's true.
It is true.
Which part was the joke?
The joke is that I'm pointing out the fact that, hey, it's a great black movie and it doesn't have this
right.
in it.
I think you would have done better if you would have been like,
I forgot.
Now, I know it's
I
not going to be your favorite, like these slave movies, but like I think you should have
maybe I could have done
pivoted
that. I had a very dry sense of humor, and someone commented that like this was low key racist.
Oh, okay.
Right? They thought I was being racist, referring to like implying that all black movies need to have these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of I'm pointing out that most black movies that sort of get Oscar nominations or Oscar nods have to do with these kinds of things. So
I just think. the joke setup wasn't clear enough.
I forgot what I said. The joke worked way better when I'm not doing the joke justice.
Right.
Anyway, the point being is that
in
someone...
In your retelling of it or in the original?
The retelling. Maybe the original. I don't know. Go watch it. Someone accused me of being racist.
Right.
I'm not going to defend myself. Like, in this case, I don't know. I don't know if this video deserved an apology. Not like this. I think he could have done something like, hey, y'all. He could have been like, hey, I discovered that this wasn't made for me. Yeah. So,
well, I think what you should do is you should, like, almost plan backwards and think to yourself, like, who is the butt of the joke that I'm making? Who should be the butt of the joke that I'm making is Hollywood, right?
Yes.
Because you're saying Hollywood is who thinks the only black movies that should have critical acclaim are slave movies, right?
That's not my point. I don't want to...
I'm just saying, like, you're... With your specific joke, you brought up your joke, so let me respond. You should have just made it very clear that you were picking on Hollywood.
Sure, I could have done that.
The film, I don't give
a fuck about this person accusing me about being racist.
You brought it up.
My point is that he's accused for like being racist, making this video. I don't think he was being racist. I think he was just being insensitive.
Yeah, he was being insensitive, for sure.
And now he makes a serious video like, I'm so far... Fuck the people and they're fucking offended.
I definitely disagree. I think when you've done something wildly ignorant and wildly oblivious and the girls are rightfully dragging you for it, you should be like, you know what? I was ignorant. Like,
or are you...
It is very ignorant.
But he's so serious. It's like...
Yeah, because he's probably been getting death threats all weekend. You know how this goes.
But in my mind, I think you have to recognize that people over-exaggerate on the internet, and then you take that and make a bit out of that, being like, hey, y'all.
No. I think he should have doubled down at all.
I don't think he should have doubled down. What I think he should have done was made his apology like ironic and funny, and be like, all right, y'all.
No, but that's not the content he does, though.
Right.
Like, if you don't do funny content, your apology should definitely not be funny.
But this apology is not nothing that nobody does in their content, right? He should have engaged with the material instead of he's apologizing for offending people. He should apologize, like, he should say something along the lines of, I think he was going to do an apology, he should have said something along lines of, like, hey, I was being insensitive. I did not know. I did not think that this was this way. Or he could have said something like...
No, that's even worse. It's like, yeah, you wouldn't, because you don't have to think about anybody but your white self. Like, yeah. I hate when people do that. It's like, who would have known all you blacks were going to be outraged? Like, the world is bigger than you, dummy. Like, I think he should have, okay, well, let me tell you what... So you're saying if you were him, you would not have apologized?
I think
for
if
offending, I... the black and brown community at large your ignorant stuff.
I think there are, first of all, I think that the black and brown community was not, all everybody in that community was not offended by this. I'm guarantee you, there were tons of brown people like, I don't.
There were, but it was, the only reason I saw his video is because black and brown beauty influencers that I follow stitched this and were like, we review this product all the time. Of course, like this, you know, fairer skinned white person didn't love it, but this is still a good product. This is still a bright up, because what it just comes down to the damage being done is that there are only
you maligned a product. Yeah.
The damage being done is that there are only a few black owned makeup brands, and you chose to pick one of them out and say what's wrong with them. Because you have never experienced something not being made specifically for you.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. for the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Yeah, and I think that's the route he should have gone. He should have stopped like this.
But he wouldn't even have the rhetoric to say, like, I am so unaware that so many products are made for me. When have you ever heard a white person speak with that level of, like, clarity and honesty? Like, I had no idea that there
friends.
Are products. No, because sometimes you don't even do that. Like, I had no idea that, like, this is what it is like when a product is not made for you, and that is not my daily experience. So I acted out of, like, pure, you know, accident, because I am not in the daily practice of things being made not for me.
Right. And I think that would have...
Not being made for me, rather.
Been a more...
So like, that's why I'm like, why would you tell him to respond with a joke? Like, that's why I was like, no, it's not funny when things are constantly not made for you.
Well, no, I think he should respond with a joke for a couple of reasons. Like, one, as you could tell from that apology, he didn't do it right. So every time you're serious, like, once you've fucked up, like, literally on the internet, there is nothing you can say or do to convince someone otherwise, right?
I don't agree with that. Can I say why?
Yeah.
Can you come back to that point? Okay. I want to say this. There is this woman on TikTok. Her name is Molly McPherson. She works in crisis management. So she is literally who the girls call. She works in PR. She's who the girls call when a company or a singular person is like, hey, I fucked up big time. Can you help me issue a PR statement? Can you help me come up with what I'm going to say, you know, in my car via Instagram, whatever. So her big structure for this all the time is own it, explain it, promise it. Own what you did, explain what you did, and promise to do better. Now, your promise can look a lot of different ways, right? We love Cheska Lee. We had her on the show. She has a great video that's like, instead of an empty apology, write a check. That's a great way. If you want to do something funny, you be like, hey, y'all, my dumb white ass made a stupid, ignorant video because I am not in the daily practice of products not being for me, because everything is made for white people. I want to own that I just fully manifested that in this video that I made. Juvia's Place, explain. Juvia's Place is a black-owned brand that specializes for black and brown women, and that is something I even learned the other day. I'm going to leave that video up as a learning lesson, and I'm going to be buying, you know, $400-$500 gift cards or new makeup palettes, and I want to give them away to creators.
Sure.
That need, whatever.
I think that
could
have been...
Put some money in Juvia's Place's pockets at this point.
But he also says that he uses... that brand.
That's where Molly probably would have said, like, no. Just say you didn't know. Like, just say you didn't know.
Why? Like, double down on the fact that you were ignorant about it. And here's my thing about injecting humor into this, right? When you're very serious and, like, looking at the camera on the internet, it almost becomes, like, a way of, like, showing how remorseful. It's almost like this false humility kind of thing.
I don't
that
agree.
I think you
could take an... And I'm just saying, because Ben is obviously somebody who sometimes says some unhinged things. And there have been times in our relationship where you said something so unhinged and sucked the air out of the room, and you try to apologize with humor, and I'm not buying it. Not that night of. Like, how has that worked out for you when you're like, eh, I'm a dummy? I'm like, you're still not even acknowledging what you did or what you said. I feel like you should learn from the own it, explain it, promise it structure. I think we all can.
Yeah, you could own it, be like, yo, so I found out, this is how I apologize to the black and brown community that I offended.
So this is what you just reviewed Juvia's Place poorly.
Yeah, I just reviewed Juvia. This is what I did. So I found out that this makeup is not made for me. And very, very clearly, I illustrated that. I also...
And I wouldn't know that because most makeups are made for me.
Yeah, I wouldn't know that because most makeups are made for me. So in this very small moment, I realized what it's like to be a black person.
No.
You're like, absolutely not.
No.
I think you'd be like, yo,
call Miley.
I was insensitive.
Miley, you and Dave's a girl.
I was insensitive. Listen, y'all, I was an insensitive little shit. Like self-deprecating humor. I was an insensitive little shit. My ignorant might have hurt this company, but honestly, it didn't do much because I only have 30,000 followers. And my most viral moment...
Don't try to minimize the damage that was done. No.
Dang. I'm a terrible at
you
apology.
You are. Kevin has... Simply Kevin. Oh, yeah. He does have 25.9K followers. This apology has 1 million views. Then he took the video down. And some people have listened to this and they're like, I mean, come on. Like, he doesn't have that many followers, so he's going to make mistakes. Because here's the thing. If you are creating in the space long enough, you're going to make some mistakes.
Yeah.
It just depends. There's a checks and balance of, did your mistake, was it so insanely ignorant? Or did you say something that you're like, nope, I intentionally made this baby slave joke, I'll call myself, and I am not apologizing for this.
Like, double down.
So you can choose to do whatever, but I don't think they intentionally made this mistake.
No, he didn't. I think he
just... So when you make an unintentional mistake that has impact, you got to own it, explain it, promise it.
Amber and I had a similar situation right before she showed me this video where I bought a product used for cooking, and Amber was like, what the fuck is this product? I was like, no. It's a very culturally used product.
Right.
And she's like, you know what? I'm glad you said it. Because if you go into that, being like, what the hell is this? You know?
Right.
You appear to be insensitive.
Yes.
And there's
we won't
moments-
even be ambiguous. I think I posted on my Instagram story about it. Like, I put butter on the shopping list.
Yeah, and I
and
bought
we
her
always
ghee.
Buy sticks of butter. And then Ben bought this Indian butter, clarified butter called ghee or something like that.
Yeah. And you're like, what is this?
And so it did, like, in the same world of Kevin Lee, Simply Kevin, it took me aback because it's like, I'm used to the sticks. You always bring the sticks in the house. So it took me aback that
when
you brought
when I bought it different.
When you bought something different. Did I then get online and be like, look what this stupid ass product Ben bought? No. I got online and was like, okay, y'all, this is something that's not used to my normal, but I'm going to try it out, okay? Because clearly, cultures of people use this product and it's sold in stores. There has to be, you know, I have not experienced this yet, so I want to experience this. But when you get online and drag something that whole communities have been using for years, you just sound crazy. You do.
Yeah.
Okay, do you think you can learn how to own it, explain it, promise it? The promise
own
it is
it,
what is
it,
really important
is
for me personally.
Great. I think I could tattoo that right on my belly.
You should.
Own it.
So let's say you said something effed up a couple nights ago. Not wildly racist, but like, you don't need to be saying that annoying kind of thing, right?
I'd be like, yo, that was not... There was a way I could have made my needs known without using sarcasm in that kind of way.
Okay, own it.
That was fucked up. And, I apologize. So own it, explain it.
Explain it. This is what is key for me. Explain what you said and why it could have been hurtful.
Yeah, and then I would explain it, and then promise it. I'm not gonna say that again to you. I'll find a different way to explain when I feel like you're being particular about something or nitpicky. Yeah,
that was lovely.
Yeah, I can do that.
I can do that too. Because what needs help on my apologies? Is it the own it, the explain it, or the promise it?
You own it. I think owning something is really, really difficult for you because something that you will do is that you will do something in retaliation for a slight that I might have committed. And you're like, this retaliation was merited. Like, I had to do something fucked up because you struck first type of thing. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, I didn't even know that I struck first. Yeah. You know, like, it sort of surprises me. So it's like, I'm going to teach him a lesson by being mean. And it's sort of fucked up. I think you're trying to stop doing that.
Yeah, but it's like, you slapped me in the face. I slapped you in the face.
Right, but I didn't even know that you're...
You didn't know you slapped me in the face. But when I tell you, like, yo, you slapped me in the face, you're like...
I'm like, wait, what? How
so? Here you go. Talking about being slapped. Like, that's what
you do. I want details because I don't realize that I did... I did a slapping in the
face. But when I say that you slapped me in the face and you tell me that, like, I don't think it was a slap as much as it was a thump.
No, I was like, I don't know how that was hurtful or something. Sometimes I don't know. I was like, oh.
Yeah, but then I'm doing the explain it part that's supposed to be on you.
Well, yeah, because I don't understand what I did. So I have to understand what I did wrong first, you know? And I think he understood, like, he was able to say something is like, oh, I realize this product was not made for me. Now I can apologize. Because if you don't know how it was hurtful, I'm like, okay, I could see
how
you see that.
What's annoying, and we'll move on to the next segment very shortly. What's annoying is when you try to, and this is you or other people.
Yeah.
You said something fucked up. You said something not cool. You said something ignorant. And black person of color tries to explain to you why what you said was messed up. And then you're countering with, well, but that's not what I meant, so it's fine. And you're like, no.
Yeah,
but
I think
this was
racial,
the impact of your words.
Racial stuff is a little bit different because for most racial stuff, I can be like, oh, yeah, I can see why that was insensitive, you know, or like unaware. I think there are other things that I'll like defend. So
let's talk about the driving in the car real quick.
Driving, yeah. I drive a little like L.A., everybody. We live in L.A. I got
to
move around.
This is already you trying to generalize. It's like, well, it's not everybody here drives that way.
I do.
Ben drives like a bat out of hell,
and she
a little
wants
bit
me
of,
to apologize
like
for
a maniac
driving.
A little bit when I'm in the car, when the baby's in the car, like that is just your default.
My
and
thing,
I'll try to explain to you in the front seat, like, we need to slow down. You're racing to get to the IMAX movie. So is it worth dying?
It's not. So that's very difficult because I'm not convinced that I'm doing anything wrong. So what I did, because I'm tired of arguing over this, we've talked about this before, is like, I'm not going to drive. If we're going to go somewhere, I'm going to let you drive because I feel like you are more comfortable with you driving.
Okay, but now recently, this is my favorite part, right? We had a friend come in town. We've had a few friends be in town and experience your driving. What was the consensus?
They're like, slow down. But they don't live in LA.
No. It's like, but a minute ago you just said, you were like, I'm not convinced that I'm even doing that. It's like, okay, so you ignore me. Somebody else tells you. You ignore them.
I sound
crazy.
It could
just be you.
I sound crazy right now.
If more than me is saying it, it's also you. Or you could say like, you know what? I don't think I'm driving crazy, but our baby's in the car. My family doesn't feel safe. So let me just
drive a little slower or whatnot.
Right.
Yeah.
But you do this, well, I can't even, you drive. Because I'm like, I'll drive, but it should also mean when I am not in the car and you go somewhere wild by yourself, you also drive cautiously.
Mm-hmm. I do, yeah.
But you give me the indication that you're like, well, I'll switch it up for you, but like the minute you get out, I'm gonna go back to my, like, you don't have integrity is what I'm saying, yeah. Do you plan to drive more cautiously? Are you gonna promise it? Well, we ain't even gonna own it with that. Can you own it at least? I'll wait for the other two.
Own that I drive a little unsafe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably do.
Okay, we're at a own it. Explain it.
I drive a lot, and I'm always rushing to get to places.
That's fair.
And I'm going to give myself more time to get to places so that I'm not rushing.
Promise it?
I promise. I'm going to take my time.
Driving,
yeah.
So let's create a world where we're still in a rush. What you going to do?
Baby, you're going to have to drive.
Deal. I'll take it. Let's do that.
I feel,
I'll take that.
Oh, man, the rush. Yeah.
If we are in a rush because we didn't plan well, I'll drive.
Yeah.
I think that's totally fair. It scares me for when we're in a rush and you got to go somewhere by yourself with Wild. But
I'll Uber. Oh, with Wild. With Wild, I'm never really rushing. Even if I'll just show up to class late. I'm
okay. It's simply untrue. But it's time to move on to the next. Oh, well, I guess that covers a little bit of our second conversation.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Our second segment of the show is called Imperfect Parent. Okay, go on saying what you know. I got to get my segment jingles. Now you go on saying what you were saying about Wild. So you're saying, okay, I think we're actually getting into something deeper here. And I'm willing to go there. You're saying that when you are typically going somewhere by yourself with Wild, you're not rushing.
I don't feel rushed. Yeah, like with you, we have to go see a show on time and the doors open at this time.
Oh.
And with you, we have a dinner reservation. And they only hold it for 15 minutes. With you, it's a movie and the movie plays and we have to get there within 15 minutes. There's a party we got to get to.
A party.
Like a special event, like you know, a red carpet event, blah, blah, blah. So with you, we're generally, or for us, right, even our times, are we have recording times for a studio, or we have a photo shoot, or we have to run practice, or you have to get to a lesson, a music lesson. You only have a 30-minute music lesson, hour music lesson. So any of that, generally, we have much more restrictive time constraints. Where a lot of the events I take Wild to, like people are like trickling in 20, 15 minutes. The first 15 minutes, like it's like free play for gymnastics or even the library. People, you know, trickle in for story time, etc. So I'm way more chiller with her.
I got you. So I think I heard you. I'm glad you clarified because I feel like I heard you saying something else. It's like I heard you say like, well, when you got to get ready, we're always waiting on you. Which is why we're late. Me.
I don't know if that's true. You do take longer.
I do take longer. Great. I don't mind. I think a fair compromise is if we are rushing, I can drive.
I would love that. Thank you.
I could do that.
Yeah, what's this parent thing you got going?
Oh, this is exciting. So as we... this is exciting. I mean, exciting is relative.
This is
actually
best news.
Super exciting.
Super Bowl.
Wild is growing up. She's becoming more independent. So I'm just trying to... So exhilarating. And so what I'm trying to do is I've been really doing a lot of research on independence because this is a critical stage where she needs to feel independent. And like, I just want to urge parents at home who also have toddlers, like, this is the day where they got to just like, even if it means they're going to be a little bit tacky, like, let them pick out the shirt.
Oh yeah, energy. Choice.
Yes. So yeah. I was looking up some ways that like that would really help her have more opportunities to be independent. Self-feeding is a big one.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I know that she's already getting utensils. A lot better with her utensils, but it is so easy for me, especially if we're in a hurry, to just be like, let me just do it. Like, let me just do it so then I can quickly clean up after you do it. And she's like, she kind of lingers with it too.
So I'm waiting, rocking back and forth.
And I'm like, all done? Food. She's like, no. And I'm like, okay. So I just need to start crafting out time for every meal needs to be self-feeding. Like, I need to just break it apart and just let her play around with it. Whereas now I'm kind of just like, no, just try everything. Yeah. But it's weird for me with the self-feeding when I'm like, you're not even trying it. Like, just try it. Mm-hmm. But it's a choice. Offer the choices, juice or milk. Like, anytime we can give her a choice, we need to give it to her. Or water. Another piece of advice I saw that is
I hate juice.
She needs to help out with household chores.
putting dishes away. Yeah, she loves feeding Gucci. She loves.
She can put her clothes in the hamper. She can help with dog walks. She can help with dog feeds. So any household chores, she loves helping me load the dishwasher, and then she likes putting the little.
The little pod in.
She'll
put like four or five in. Oh, God.
What really, you do this well because you do the majority of the cooking, but one thing, it was just saying, like, set them up their own little kitchen counter space and give them a task.
Cool.
Like tearing lettuce, breaking up uncooked pasta.
I like that.
Even if it's not a part of the meal.
Just, like, give them. Yeah. Oh, that's so smart.
Right.
Like, give her, like, a few pasta things to, like,
Break apart. Yeah, because, like, again, I'm like, I don't want you right by the stove. Like, this morning, her and I were making some oatmeal, and she's like, I'm like, help me pour the oats in it, but it's mostly just me doing it. Yeah. And I could just tell she wanted, like, her own pot to do something in separately.
Okay.
So, like, maybe next time I can just, like, put some almonds in a pot and just let her, like, spin them, like, off to the side. Yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
She just wants to feel like she's cooking in the kitchen.
Yeah. I love that.
Right?
This is great parenting advice.
I looked this up. Okay.
Sign off in the YouTube comments. Did your parents do this with you? This is great for those who don't have kids. And also for those who don't have kids, does this sound like a lot of work? Because it is.
Yeah, or like when it comes to those stairs, just let her
walk. Don't
just
pick
let
her,
her walk. Just let her walk down her the stairs. I do this with her every night, every single night when it's my night to put her down. So I want us to get on the same page with this. Every night, I read the books. I do a daily recap with her. We don't have to do the same thing, but I'm like, what did we do today? What'd you do with Dad? Godzilla. Like, I try to just do, like, a little bit of, like, what was today's agenda? And then, before we turn off the lights, I let her count down the 3, 2, 1.
Oh, that's great.
You know?
Yeah, I like that. So and I'll also like, saying goodnight, too.
Yes, like, mommy is about to turn off the lights. Can you do the count? 1, 2, light off. Because then she's not as mad. But when I just turn it off myself, she's, like, enraged.
The rhythm, the prediction, like, telling her, like, every time I leave the house, I'm saying, hey, I'm leaving now, Wild. Goodbye. Give her a kiss. Like, I just don't walk out of the house. I try to do that. I should start doing that with you, too.
I would love that. Because you know when I leave a home, I think that's why we got into it the other day. Because you said you were going to do it, but then when it happened, let me do an example of me leaving the house.
Uh-huh.
Baby, I'm headed out. I love you. Bye.
Yeah.
Let me do you leaving the house. You see the difference? So even though you're like, I just told you that I was leaving the house. I'm like, I know, but I just grew up in one of those households where you didn't just come and go as you please. Like if you're on your way home, you're 5-minute ETA. And if every time my mother left that house, she was like, I love y'all. Because I don't know, maybe in this really morbid way, she's like, if this is the last time I talk to my family, like I want them to have heard me say, I love you. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when you just leave, I'm like, did Ben leave? Like even today, Jason was like, is Ben here? I was like, I don't know. And I was like, I don't like that. I just sometimes need to be like, hey, Amber, I'm headed out. Love you. Bye.
Uh-huh.
You know, I do that on the phone too. I'd be like, all right, you're at the grocery store. I love you. Click. don't let you be on speaker with a friend of mine nearby. I'm like, all right, baby, I'm so grateful you went to the grocery store. I love you. Yeah, bye. Click.
Well, usually my mind is all over the fucking place, man. I'm usually thinking about a story or a movie we're gonna watch or some shit I gotta do.
That's fair.
And so if I'm pushing the stroller, and lately I've been taking Wild to the grocery store, she's in the grocery store with me, and when you called me, she was getting a little antsy. I'm like, all right, bye. Like, I'm trying to move and go about doing things.
Okay, if you only have 2 seconds, can the salutation be love you?
Yeah, I can do that.
And not bye?
Yeah.
Because then it's clear.
Yes, I can do love you. Love you. I could do that.
If you just said love, bye.
Love, bye.
Love, click.
Oh.
Even that were great.
Yes, the argument. I said, I told Amber, I'm like, hey, I'm going to, after we eat, I'm going to go do this errand. And I waited a little bit longer, but I leave after we eat, but I was downstairs for a little bit doing some stuff. Then I leave, but I don't tell her the moment I leave the home.
Yeah. He lingered for like 2 hours though.
Maybe. I don't remember. But for me,
like if you're like, I'm at
you're
some
like,
point
you
today,
need
I'm
to tell me
thing.
Every time you leave the house. And I was like, that just felt a little bit too much. But now looking back, I think you do the same thing to me.
Right.
But I don't really need to know, especially if you already told me, like, I'm going to go to do to right. do these things, you know?
Well, what's frustrating is sometimes you'll say you're about to work on a task and you don't. You'll linger working on the task. And then when I actually need you to help me out with something else, I'm you're like, oh, no, now, I got to go
now,
to the store.
I'm
like,
I got to do this thing.
You told me you were going to the store 2 hours ago.
I know. I got caught up in reading.
So, no,
book
so that was the go to the store time. You squandered it.
I have
so now
to,
you got to do something
I have
else.
To motivate myself to get up and move about. It's hard. My brain gets distracted.
The I love you is going to hold you accountable.
I love you.
Yep. You want to move on to the next segment? Yeah. Since we're talking about love. It, bottom line of this, the conclusion of this segment is, you know, let your littles be independent because
also
they can do way
everything.
More than you think. They can do so much more than you
yeah.
think.
Yeah, and they can listen to everything. Explain literally everything. Also to your littles and to your partner because sometimes your partner is a little, like a little brain, like little, I get distracted.
He got a little brain.
You compared me to Wild today. I was like, that's offensive.
What did I say?
I forgot. You're like Wild when she says sorry. You don't really mean it.
Like I
was like, damn. It was.
Here's the thing. I said to you. I said when you apologize to me, it's like Wild. You ain't really sorry for what you did. You just gotta say it as a courtesy. You don't know. Like Wild will do something wrong. I'm like, say sorry. She's like, sorry. And then she'll do it again. I'm like, you're not understanding.
No, Wild is starting to feel shame. She'll put her head down.
She will. She will.
I don't feel shame. I don't want her to feel shame. No one should feel shame for anything. They should feel remorse.
We got to bring back some shame.
Remorse and shame are separate. Being like, hey, that wasn't cool.
If you did something fucked up, you should feel ashamed.
No, I don't think I don't get embarrassed as well. And Amber gets embarrassed. It's so funny. Over like, we were trying to walk around, hand out flyers for our show. So come see our show in Highland Park.
Well, they're tonight, at it now. They're at
tonight.
It.
Tonight. It's not sold out. So we were like talking to people.
It's sold out.
Sold out. And Amber's like, I see her at one point. I'm pushing the stroller and I'm getting us some food. And I see Amber just standing awkwardly, like, you know, on the street. I was like,
I talked to some people, but they didn't want to be filmed. So I was trying to do like man on the street style interviews.
So,
and they were like, we'd love to talk to you. And I'm like, okay, can I record me asking y'all some questions? They're like, no.
I was like, damn.
I'm like,
totally
I guess
fine.
I'll just keep asking the questions.
So I would. And then I'm like, you know what, Amber, can you watch the baby? And I just go into like every store. I'm like, hey, can I put this up here? Hey, I have a show coming up. Like talking to the people
waiting
in line for the
barista. Yeah, but you didn't get anybody to do questions on camera.
I didn't have anybody like to film. You had someone filming you and you had like a microphone. So I just walked around really quickly to try to get as much stuff set up as possible. And I just talked. I just went up to everyone
right.
I saw. I like did not care. Where Amber's like, is this the kind of person who would like my kind of show? I was like, who fucking cares? Like, just get the word out every single way. I'm a little bit like throw to the caution to
yeah.
The
and I'm like, oh, this is my target audience.
Yeah, I'm like, you don't. Sometimes the way someone looks doesn't always imply their target audience.
That's very true.
But like, there are certain key giveaways where I'm like, I'm not going to talk to this like couple walking with like a, you know,
a walker. No, you will still do that.
Probably.
Ben will literally go up to you if you have like AirPods in and you're like, you're clearly like in a hurry and Ben's like, hey.
And like the bus you're trying to catch is literally going down. I'm like in your way. Yeah, I'll still try to talk to you.
That is so you. Let's kick it to the next.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The next segment of our show is called the I Do's and Don'ts of Relationships.
I do.
I think we had a full therapy session earlier in the show, right? The apologies.
Yeah. Learning how to apologize.
And learning how to leave the house.
We found out that I don't apologize to the black and brown community if I were to...
Oh, you're going to make
I
so many
mistakes. I would
apologize. All right, let's talk a little bit about friendships. If you would like advice from our show, call 1-833-FOTW-311. We will listen to your voicemail, and you might end up on the show. So here's our next caller.
Hi, Amber and Ben. Thank you so much. I literally love the podcast. Love you all. I just have questions about, I guess you could say, friendship. How do you know when a friendship has reached its expiration date? I have a friend that we met while my husband and I were stationed in our first duty station, and then she just had a very toxic relationship that I tried to, you know, help out with and things like that, and we've since, you know, moved away, and, like, she still calls me with all her relationship drama because she's still dealing with the guy. She's 25, and she's been dealing with this guy since she was 16. They have three kids together, and honestly, it's just draining. Like, I don't know, because, like, I never had to deal with that. I'm not really sure how to go about it. Like, I try my best to give her advice, but it's just very toxic. Like, how do you let somebody know that your friendship has reached its expiration date?
The way I did it, actually, was saying, like, hey, I don't want to be around you anymore because I don't like the way you're talking to me. That's literally what I said to somebody once. And I haven't talked to that person for over 2 years.
Yeah. I wasn't pregnant.
They were like in my wedding and they got married. And I just was like, I can't do this.
I want to be clear. This person had a full blow up with Ben on the street. And yeah, that was Ben's response. So, you didn't initiate this conversation.
I didn't.
She was
yeah
doing too much.
I was like, And I was referring to that specific day. I was like, no, I don't want to be around you this specific day. But
yeah,
then,
you're right.
But then after that day left, I was like, actually, I don't want to be around anybody who would talk to me like that.
You're right. And good for you.
Yeah. I've not really done that. I think for me, I just ghost people.
Yeah.
So in this case, like, if she kept on trying to call you, I would maybe block her number. Especially if you don't live near each other anymore. And that's not great advice, but it's the easiest thing to do.
Yeah. I definitely believe that there are certain friendships that serve us for certain periods of our lives. There, at one point in my life, a studio apartment served me. That is not today. I need some space. Baby, family, I need some space. That doesn't mean that studio isn't great and doesn't work for some people. It just doesn't serve me in my life where I am today. That's the one. The two is the major problem with this friendship that she is the conversation hog, that she, every time she's calling, she's never checking in on you. She's very self-absorbed. She's only calling you when she has man problems, doesn't ask how you're doing, doesn't acknowledge what's going on in your life. If she only is calling and using you as a therapist, then I definitely, but you still maybe want to keep the friendship past that part. Like, if the worst part of the friendship is that she's always calling to complain about her man, I would just say off the top, I would say, like, oof, girl, I love you. I want to check in with you. You are not allowed to talk about your man because we've been down that road.
That might be now, her proceed whole identity, though.
Yes. Now, if she's like, no, I got to say this one thing, just be like, nope, I don't want to talk about your man, y'all's problems, because they've been the same problems you've been going through the last 9 years, and you ain't leaving that man. So now proceed with what you got to say.
Life is too stressful.
And if she clicks up, she hangs up, you got your answer.
Life is too stressful to be around people who bring their own stress all the time into the relationship, whether friendship or romantic relationship. There's got to be a point where you can just do fun shit with the people within your area.
Yeah.
Like, and just fun shit as terms of like, yo, we're just gonna talk about, I don't know, Family Guy or like Drag Race or something completely neutral that is basically there to make you laugh. I don't watch Family Guy. I don't really watch Drag Race, but just something totally like neutral and there to make you laugh or something. And if you can't do that.
You know what I just thought about, Ben? Do you remember? Okay, so I'm really involved in the like NPR Moth community, which is like a storytelling format. I'm actually, by the time this airs, I would have gone to Cincinnati to host two Moth shows. Really love the storytelling. One night, Ben and I went to the Moth LA show, and we saw about 10 storytellers. And this one woman got on stage and told this story about some longtime friends of hers and how now that those friends have kids, they barely prioritize her. They don't come to any of her events anymore, whatever. And the moral of this story, and some events later happened where in this story, they had like some friend of theirs in the friend group passed away and they reconnected at this funeral. But the moral of her story was like, you know, I just got to be patient with my friends that have kids. And to that, just, I like, say, laughing. Fuck that. Like, you can be kind and understanding, but like, there is no... And call me a spoiled brat, but I also don't live in the same state or city as our family members. Like, I make time, and I'm telling you honestly, your friends with kids make time for and prioritize the things that they want to go to. I personally, if you ever hear me say, girl, I can't come, you know, I gotta watch Wild, I likely just don't want to come. I'm gonna be honest with you. Because I go to shit I want to go to.
We have friends who babysit Wild.
But having a baby is a great out. It's such a great out.
Yeah.
And it's not fair. Like, if your friend is constantly inviting you.
In this situation,
if your child-free friend is constantly inviting you to things, and you are just like, girl, I got you, you are making excuses, and you are a bad friend. And it depends. Like, I obviously, like, I'm not talking, you know, the internet loves to be like, but what about if my child has special needs? Of course, I'm not talking about, like, extreme
cases.
What if
I don't have enough money to get a babysitter?
What if I don't have enough money? Then you come over here, girl.
This specific situation, it was two of them. And one of them could have, like, gone easily and hung out with her as the other one watched the kids. Like, come on.
Right.
If people want to hang out with you, and they'll make the time. In this case, it sounds like you don't want to hang out with this person. Stop giving her the time.
Or you know what I recently realized about a specific friend? I looked at all of the messages that we had been sending each other, you know, the past couple months or so. And all of the messages, all of the message greetings from her are only about her and what's going on in her life. Mm. Which recently revealed to me, like, I need to fall back a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, and not that you got to ask, like, how's Ben? How's Wild? But every single time you're only saying, like, girl, I got this new job. Girl, I met this new man. Girl, I'm making this new t-shirt. And I'm like,
what's up with you?
Yeah, I'm like, cool shirt. And then she would fully ignore, like, wouldn't even say anything. I was like, you're kind of a narcissist. Like when I check in on my friends, I'll be like, I might say something like, just left recording the pod with Ben. How are you? It's been super busy. I'm sorry I haven't gotten a chance to catch up, but how are you? I wouldn't be like, we recorded a new pod episode. You didn't listen? It's like, no.
Yeah.
My closest friends do not listen to this show.
I hope none of my friends listen to this show.
Some of my friends listen to the show, but like, If they did it, I would never be like, oh, you're not listening. It's like, girl, what? Like, no, I got other stuff going, or family members, or whatever.
I just hope my friends don't listen to the show because I'm probably talking about them.
Yeah, that's fine. I just hate when people get online, they're like, my own friends and family don't support my business. It's like, do they not support the business, or are they just a little bit busy? Like,
yeah,
are they busy with their own lives? Like, they don't have to stop everything that they're doing, but I task you to tell this friend to call you and off the top say, let me tell you what we're not talking about today. You're cheating ass man of the last 9 years. Now go. And if she's like, I ain't got nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
That was the whole friendship.
Boom. Moving on. Next caller.
Boom. Oh my God. Yes, we do have another caller. I'm sorry, baby. Now I'm being like that other person. We got a toddler mom. You ready?
Yeah.
Trying to keep my arm low because my pits are definitely not shaved and they're gnarly.
All right. This is take number two because that first one, I got a little too lengthy with it. So basically, my question or my little story is that I'm a stay-at-home mom with a 15-month-old and her dad, my partner, goes to work full-time during the week while I'm home with the baby. And I don't understand how to handle the shift in the dynamic now. You know, almost a year and a half into this, and it's still mind-boggling to me that his full-time work week in his mind feels equivalent to the 24/7 on-call job that I now have as the stay-at-home parent, full-time caretaker and multifaceted homemaker. I just got finished gluing some random stuff back on in the bathroom and, like, basically being an amateur plumber while also watching the baby and, like, walking the dog. And today was a hard day. I don't know. I don't know how you all handle it. It's so refreshing to see you both work so well together. I don't know. How do I navigate this new part of our relationship, parenthood with a toddler? All right. I love you guys. You guys are great. Okay, bye.
All right, so he needs to understand that you are working harder than him.
100%.
And how do you get someone to do that? Because our society does not value stay-at-home moms in the way that we value someone going out and working for a business, because we don't provide income for stay-at-home moms.
Right.
Except we cannot have a society unless stay-at-home moms exist.
Correct.
Right. Who's going to raise the children? So how do you get there? And the way you get there is through...
I'm going to go after you because I remember the day that I got there.
Go.
No, I don't want
to... No, go. Yeah, how do you get there?
So when Ben and I first moved to LA, he was... This was before we had like some support. Now we have some support in the form of like nannies. We've met babysitters. We're a little bit more established here now, so we can like rely on people to help out with Wild. But obviously when we first moved here, we didn't really have anybody. And Ben was the primary caretaker of Wild, like stay at home dad from meals. Obviously you still cook the majority of our meals now, but he was doing everything for Wild while I like was answering emails and making videos and editing and hosting Amp Show and all and going Amazon Music Live, and just we were thrown right into the LA world. And one day I kind of had a little bit of a day off, so we switched roles for a day. Like it was like I want Ben to just sleep in. I'm gonna take Wild to swim lessons by myself. I'm gonna take her out and get lunch. It's just gonna be me and her. And I almost had like a full breakdown because it was so hard to do. It was so hard to do, to just do all of that. And I felt shitty because I'm like, I remember I called you coming home from swim and I was like, it just took me like 2 hours to get together for this 30-minute swim lesson. And I was like, I had no idea how incredibly challenging this was to pack this bag, to get these wet clothes off of me, to get these wet clothes off of her. I forgot a shoe at home. Got to go out while I go to Target, buy some shoes. Like, it just little things that Ben was like very well trained at. And that's when I realized like the days that Ben has Wild it's harder. Mm-hmm. Like, it just is harder. Sure, the work that I'm doing earns the most money, and you help with that work as well. But like, being with a small child all day is the hardest job in the world. Like, I think I can confidently say.
That would be interesting as almost an experiment for this couple. I don't know how the income ratio looks like, but if you were to be like, "Hey, husband, how about next year you watch the kid?" And I go back to my old job.
Maybe not even for a full year, but just like, hey, this whole weekend, I'm going to go out of town. You're going to watch the baby. I'm going to just take myself to the spa. I'm going to read. Yeah. Here's what hotel I'm going to be at. I'm just going to, for a full 3-day weekend, I'm going to spoil myself.
Yeah.
And you're going to watch the baby. I promise you, that would even if you're not going to a hotel, go to a friend's house, hide somewhere. That was the big unlock for me.
Yeah, I think there's really great books that explore this. Fed Up has been a book that we've mentioned on here before that talks about the role that a lot of stay-at-home moms have to go through, and how fathers get to just, you know, go to work, come back, sort of chill, you know, their 40-hour work week. And I think that's a great book. I know there are like dad influencers that explore this kind of stuff as well. But yeah, working, have them listen to our podcast. Like, have them listen to Amber's story.
It's harder. Yeah. And you'd assume, like, well, you're her mother. Like, I'm sure you, like, loved that day y'all spent together. Like, it was
I think it's so funny because there's so many memes of, like, the dad coming back from working an 8-hour day and just sitting down and, like, feet up and getting to, like, drink a beer or whatever.
Yeah, and that was the easiest day. You were like, fucking around on the computer keys. Yeah. Like, you have to be, like, there are some jobs that just require... I was talking to my hair braiding stylist about this one time, because I was like, no, you have to be in the zone for 8 hours straight, like with your hands. Like every braid has to look like the last one. I was like, I can't think of a single job besides parenting that requires you, like, you have to pay attention. And sure, Wild's getting to an age where she can kind of play around her room for a little bit.
Yeah,
but
independent,
like,
play.
But at work, if you go into work, you can kind of check out of a meeting mentally. You can fool around on the keys. You go take your lunch
except
break.
Except for teaching, yeah.
But some jobs you really can, like corporate America jobs. All my friends who work in corporate America, I'm like, are you on the phone
or
with
even
right
doctors?
Now?
Even doctors. I think the doctor, when they talk to me about 5 minutes and then they move on to the next
patient.
I was like, you didn't spend any emotional time with me. You didn't really give me any great information. It's super, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, emotional time. Even a therapist can kind of, like, zone out
yeah.
and be like, and how does that make you feel? Because they're mostly just there to, like, let you talk.
I'd say so.
I'm not trying to say these jobs are not important.
What if the roles were reversed?
It's supposed to be like, wish we could switch up the roles.
Yeah, that's the
what song is that?
Beyonce. What if I... Oh, it's Ciara, the Ciara one.
Better.
Yeah, sorry. No, no. I forgot. They sort of came out around the same time. If I were a boy.
Oh, yeah. If I were a boy
were
versus...
a boy. Da, 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 da. All right. Let's talk about something a little bit less funny.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The next segment of our show is called Shelfie. The vibe is going to change a little bit because we're working our way through all the Oscar noms. And so the other night we went to see Zone of Interest. Ben, I'll let you take it from here.
Yes. For those who don't know, Zone of Interest is a Holocaust film without ever showing the Holocaust. It is unlike, you know, The Boy in the Striped Pajamas or Schindler's List. It is all done through suggestion, and it follows the historical figure Haas and his wife Hedwig and their home right outside Auschwitz. And it was a absolutely chilling film. I wrote a couple of quotes there, but the director of the film writes that I wanted to make a movie that didn't show like these SS officers as monsters, but as like normal, everyday Mr. and Mrs. Smith who live at, you know, number 22 with beautiful,
they have a garden. They're just desensitized. You can hear like screams in the back yeah. and see billows and clouds of smoke, which we all know what they're coming from. And it's just like, how are these people just living in this? And the film does a really good job. I'm sorry I cut you off.
Yeah.
Of showing.
Thank you for your apology.
For making you think about. The film does a really good job of making you think about what are all of the atrocities we're just living next to every single day, like homelessness and this entire genocide. It's just like, what are the things just like
the systematic killing of Palestinians throughout the Gaza Strip.
Yeah.
And just the fact that we're like, oh, Israel, yep, they experienced the Holocaust, but so therefore it's okay for them to, like, you know, live, create this apartheid state, you know, where some people can drive on certain roads and other people can't. And the U.S. is like, yeah, we're a country that loves freedom of religion, except we're supporting a religious ethno state. You know, yeah. it's just a very strange world.
Even more simply, like, you could just live, like, if you lived near a state prison or something, you're just like, this is right over there. Yeah. Like as far as, I'm not saying that is not important. I'm just saying, like, as far as, like, the close proximity of it, it's just chilling to see these long scenes of, like right, like, they're having a cookout and you hear the screaming. You're like, what? How can y'all just live like this? Like, right next to this. And you're causing this.
The movie, in many ways, was very, I found it, felt like a horror film.
Yeah.
Because you're hearing these screams, and there's this one point where, you know how, like, dads every night, they, like, turn off all the lights, mm-hmm. and there's this long scene where the father systematically, like, turns off all the lights, closes the doors, and you hear, like, the sound of the factories that are, like, burning 2,000 people every day, killing just systematically. And as he's systematically turning off the lights, it's this very, like, father tender moment. But at one point he turns on the light and he sees his daughter just like almost like a jump scare because they can't sleep.
Yeah, they can't sleep.
Like you're next to
this. And the mother
thinks
these kids are like, my kids are happy and healthy. It's like, your kids are upstairs counting teeth.
Yeah.
Like,
literally,
they
find
teeth.
They're
healthy and happy.
It's such a, it's so suggestive and awful. I'll talk about the ending for a second where Jonathan Glazer is known for another film that Amber and I watched called Under the Skin, which is this very scary, like, haunting movie with Scarlett Johansson, who plays an alien who basically, like, consumes men in this really horrific manner and using, like, her sexuality. And this film plays with some of those elements, fantastical. But there's this one moment where Haas, the guy, the actual Auschwitz organizer, he looks into the distance and the movie jumps forward to present day where people are cleaning Auschwitz Museum, where there you can see the shoes, you can see the artifacts of this place. And it's almost as if for a moment, like, he saw the future. And I started to realize, like, oh yeah, Haas at one point saw that this was going to be his legacy. He thought it was going to be a positive legacy.
Yeah.
Because he's very happy at one point that he's put in charge of this job for deporting all the Hungarian Jews and then killing all of them. And so he's excited about doing that. And I realized that this movie plays with that idea of legacy and this idea of like pride at one point.
Yeah.
He talks about, he's like at a party. And the movie is, there's like hidden cameras. Like, literally they used hidden cameras to film part of it throughout the house. Like, people walking in and out.
It feels that way. It feels like you're dropped right into, I will say, if you're going to watch it, there's no big plot, rising action. It's like,
the movie ends
it almost feels like, this is horrible, but like a live stream. Like, if you're watching somebody on live, but they're not looking at you, they're just doing a task in their home. It feels like that. It's like, oh, what's going on in this live? Somebody's just doing somebody's hair. That's it. Like, so you're watching someone's life from many different camera angles, but they're not there to do something for you. Like, you're just observing. Because I remember in A Strange Turn of Events, I had to, like, pee when we went into the film. So I remember thinking, like, okay, I'm gonna hold my pee because, like, I don't want to miss a big moment or whatever. And it got to, like, an hour and 20 in the film. I was like, I don't think a big moment isn't coming. Like, it's just gonna be pretty much like a plateau as far as, like, how the plot is happening. Like, there is no plot.
The fascinating thing about this is that the way the Holocaust was run wasn't this, like, this large dramatic experience. It was like corporate Aaron energy world. There's a comedian, Lisa Beasley, does this corporate Aaron of, like, let's circle back to that. So when they talk about constructing the gas chambers, they talk about it in a using like modern corporate language.
Yeah, it's like we're hitting our quarterly goals.
And it's like, and this will be, they even use the terms of like, let's maximize effectiveness. And it's applying all this corporate language to one of the worst atrocities ever committed and probably in, you know, in modern, I guess, modern history. And you're just, you're watching this and you end up like drawing all these comparisons to even in a lesser extent, but even how companies, capitalistic companies will move their products or be like, well, we can have 15-year-olds make these in sweatshops for cheaper. You know, there's this banality, and even the term banality of evil was a term that came at that point.
It was monotonous. Yeah.
Like, and also Haas, there are these moments where people were laughing because it's so mundane.
Very mundane.
Like he's having, for example, what was that line where I didn't laugh at all. I didn't find these moments that are played for laughs.
Talking about the wife when she
she's like,
the wife is like talking to her mom. Obviously, like they live pretty well, but right outside of all these atrocities that they are causing.
Yeah.
And so the wife's mom comes to visit and is like, look at my garden or whatever. And I guess her mother is like, oh, I'm just so proud of you. Like,
yeah, you've done well for yourself.
In the way that a mother would say to you, you know, I'm coming home from LA. My mom's like, I'm just so proud of the work that you're doing. I'm like, and at one point the wife says like, I mean, around here, they basically call me like the queen of Auschwitz.
Yeah.
I'm like, not Real Housewife of Auschwitz, bitch. Like, you are out of your mind.
And they start laughing and I am watching it.
Like the audience, you mean?
Yeah, some people in the audience laughed.
Because we were just so shocked. We're like,
that's because that's how
it was.
Like Schindler's List, when you watch Schindler's List, there's this moving score and there's this like dreading sadness and you know what's going to happen. Where this film, there's dissonant sounds, which Jonathan Glazer uses pretty frequently, just like boom, like almost electronic sounds, something you would hear in a science fiction film. And that makes it so much more haunting in a way that these people didn't see this operation as like evil. And at one point I was reading, because Haas, right before he was killed, he was actually the first officer to admit that what he did was wrong and actually explained what they were doing. He breaks it down and he said, I wanted to create gas chambers because I knew shooting children and people would be too much for his soldiers. So he knew the price of it would cost. So he's like, not only did I want it to make it more efficient, but I knew the psychological toll it would take.
I can't stomach this anymore. Yeah, it was just like,
so there's this level of like,
no,
almost like sympathy. Like he has this sympathy, this like sick, twisted sympathy for his officers and knowing that like what...
And humanizing them.
And humanizing them and recognizing what they would be doing was so awful. So I had to figure a different way do it. And you're like, yeah.
Yes.
And they like, there's
horrific.
These... Yeah. This movie is probably going to be talked about and like shown forever and ever.
Yeah, it's a good film study. Like it's a one-time watch, but it's great to study like cinema, I would say.
Yeah, I don't know. Jonathan Glazer makes this point that he says the level of evil that this man does is possible for many humans. Like this can happen again.
Oh, of course. That's what the big bad is. Like,
and that's like that leaves you with the little like thing in your throat when you leave. You're like, oh, this could easily happen again, you know?
Yeah. I was talking to, you know, our friend Gabe came over the other day and he was just talking about, maybe it was in a movie or something, but like one line that the Joker famously says, it's like to Batman, it's like the difference between you and me is like one bad day. Like,
yeah,
I've just had more bad days than you, but like you have the capacity to have this many bad days. Like, and so we look at homeless people or any situation and you're just like, look at them. They're not working. They're not trying, whatever. It's like, no, one bad day separated like me having a home and you not having one.
I think a lot of people would be like, oh, my indifference to a homeless person is not comparable to like a Nazi's action. But I think Jonathan Glazer is making a point that no, there's a parallel to be drawn.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
From here. And that, I think that leaves you, I don't know, hopefully like people will go and be like, hey, maybe we should vote for people that would provide affordable housing. Maybe we should vote for people who's going to provide sanctuaries to help with drug addiction. Maybe we stop criminalizing, you know, right now we're literally thinking right now to criminalize homelessness right now.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court is hearing a case about Portland who wants to criminalize in Oregon, I believe, to criminalize homelessness. Like, and so I think this movie, it's going to make you think, it's going to make you very, very uncomfortable. I think it's one of the best movies I've watched. I still think about it. There's this like scene.
Yeah. You can barely sleep at night. I mean, we shouldn't sleep at night. Yeah. That was the point. Yeah.
You know, there's like this, a lot of this Nazi films, they think about, like they fantasize like going around and killing Nazis. So Inglourious Basterds plays with that fantasy. There's a TV show about these like action people going around hunting Nazis. This film doesn't make you like want to kill every single like Nazi. Like, I don't know. I don't think that was his point. I don't think he wanted you to like leave.
But it doesn't make you sympathize with them, no.
I don't think sympathize, but I think it makes you leave the film being like, oh, humans, we humans have a potential of doing atrocious things.
Right?
I don't know.
Closing thought about
the movie? Yeah, I'm done. We can edit the shit out of this later. Sorry, Daniel.
No, don't be sorry. I'm just saying.
Go watch the film, Zone of Interest.
Yes, it's heavy, but necessary. Ready to get out of here?
Yeah, what a weird note to end on.
And I, you wanted to stay there, so I was like, I'm just gonna let him talk. I mean, are we closing?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Fly on the Wildin' Podcast, the show that makes you laugh, but also makes you think. Appreciate y'all for sticking around and taking our recommendations for things. What?
Yeah.
I'm trying to save it. You're not even gonna let me save it.
Yeah, I'm going to let you save it. We laugh and think. Yeah, we did make you think.
Yeah,
I hope so.
I want to make us laugh and I want to make us think, and I think that's what we've always done with our comedy. So get out of here. Here's your outro music. We love y'all. Go see the movie. Thank you so much.
Bye.
You know they're from TikTok, cause those laughs keep you coming, cause they're wilding all the time. Before wild throws a tantrum, they sing to our silly anthem, cause they're wilding all the time. Don't swap while Amber squats and does a dance to please her plants, and Ben reads books while serving looks. Wild is wilding all the time. Fly, fly, oh, to be a fly. Fly, fly, come and be a fly on the wall. Leave.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.